I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know. Even before the Seahawks, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Chiefs made it to the NFL playoffs, this was already being called the year of the black quarterback. Now, there are four African-American starting quarterbacks in the divisional round, and that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by the Washington Post's Jerry Brewer and the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Jerry, start us off.
Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson. These are four of the quarterbacks remaining in the field, four of the Elite Eight. And I think that you could argue we are in a period in which we've never had this many elite black quarterbacks ever. So much so that I'm not sure that there is just this grand acknowledgement that they are black. I think we're looking at them as just dynamic playmakers. The NFL is changing. I think the way that their styles of play are being accepted alludes to that. Running, throwing, being improvisational geniuses. That shows how much the sport is evolving. Everyone always worries, oh, these guys run around a lot. They get hit a lot. They're going to get more hurt than Peyton Manning or Brady or Breeze. But I think we're getting to the point where we're accepting that these guys are going to be the faces of the NFL.
I want to go back to your point that it's almost like we're not acknowledging that these black quarterbacks are excelling and including their blackness in that discussion. And it's funny to me because I feel like the last few days we've been talking a lot about the head coach hiring cycle and the lack of black and other minority hires. And yet we do not seem to be bolstering that with a simultaneous discussion of, look what's going on the field. Look at who's going to be leading the NFL going into the next decade or so.
Right. What feels important to me is that it can't be called a fluke anymore. Even with Lamar Jackson 2 years ago, we were still hearing, like, I'm not sure that his style of play is going to work in the NFL. Like, that was 2 years ago. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
And it feels like with quarterbacks this year, we are at a place where there's no going back. And the same thing sort of can happen with coaches. Jerry, does the fact that we now see black quarterbacks on the field give us any hope for the coaching staffs?
I think there is some level of hope, but I mean, that is a more complicated ceiling to break through for many reasons. I think we are still probably, at best, I would say 2 decades behind. They get a job, but then it's one of the league's worst jobs.
Right.
And then they get fired in 2 or 3 years, and then nobody wants to rehire them because they failed at one of the worst jobs in the NFL. But I think any positive change in this direction, I mean, a quarterback is as vital to the success of an NFL team as the head coach is. And so being able to put these guys front and center and say, not only are they capable of starting and leading your team, they're capable of being franchise players, and you can win championships with these guys. The people who are leading your organization can be of color, and it can be a damn good thing for your institution.
Absolutely. All right. So speaking of very, very good quarterbacks, Nora.
Okay. So I need help. You know, the Patriots, mainstay in the NFL playoffs for better part of the last 2 decades, basically. And they're out. They're out in the wild card round. I don't know what to do with myself this month. I haven't had a relaxed January since 8th grade. Tom Brady is going to be a free agent this March. So it is more possible than it has ever been that he could play for another team. You know, not only do I feel thrust into this sort of sitting at my kitchen table in my pajamas at 11 o'clock every morning being like, what's going to happen to me? And dissecting, you know, social media posts. Would Brady and Giselle live in Charlotte? Is that possible? Would she agree to that? The answer to that is no. But I'm curious, from your guys' perspectives, is it exciting? Is it gleeful? Is it suspenseful?
Wow. It feels weird. That's the number one thing. But it also feels right in a strange way. You know, they've won 6. and they probably look back and they could point to a half a dozen plays in which they could have 12 championships over the last 20 years. And so that's why I say it feels right that they finally got eliminated. They lost a home playoff game to a team in which the opposing quarterback didn't even throw for 80 yards. And so for the first time, it feels like they are legitimately at a crossroads.
Yeah.
The right thing to do in terms of cutthroat NFL business, I believe, would be to move on. Team is too old, oldest team in the league. The right thing to do in terms of the emotional side is let this run continue.
I don't want Tom Brady to go. I love Tom Brady. Tom, stay. If you're listening, stay. But it feels to me like everyone in Boston is ignoring all these very good reasons why maybe Tom Brady would want to look elsewhere. And maybe the Patriots would want to think about what their next few years look like. And I'm sitting here saying, you all might want to prepare yourself for the possibility that he could leave so that when he stays, you're pleasantly surprised.
I think that's right. Because there are a couple places, the Raiders, the Chargers, maybe the Dolphins. I don't think he would have any, you know, real emotional problem with it. I'm just sick. Like, Tom Brady, Jacksonville Jaguar? Come on.
Maybe not.
Come on.
All right. As y'all know by now, college football's title game will kick off Monday night at 8 Eastern. Clemson will face LSU in New Orleans. LSU's semester begins on Monday. And despite a lot of bellyaching by students and a change.org petition with a few thousand signatures, LSU says they will not cancel classes on Monday or Tuesday. And I'm here to say, rightly so. No, I'm not, because that's ridiculous. Look, it's quite possible that a few students will show up for classes on Monday morning, maybe early afternoon, but Tuesday morning classes, forget about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the national title game is in New Orleans, and it's not like LSU makes it every year.
Right.
They are one of the great traditions in college football, but they're not like Alabama is right now. This is perhaps a once-in-a-decade opportunity for this program. And you're not being led, by the way, this time by Les Miles or a Nick Saban. You're being led by a Louisiana boy. The sound of his voice just is like the embodiment of gumbo.
Next week, and then we're going to head on down to New Orleans on Friday night. Guys came back with a great spirit today.
He is a native son going for a national championship in New Orleans. You should not start school before Wednesday. And I'm not even sure if you should even have it at all this week.
Take that, nerds.
Nora.
So the first day back to classes after winter break is syllabus day. You don't do anything in class on that day. You just get your syllabus and your professor has a lovely PowerPoint. And they basically go through something that could be an email. You don't need it. They don't need to be there. If you go to LSU, don't go to school. Don't go to school, kids. Oh. Go watch sports and be happy and hang out with your friends.
See, Nora, the problem with your thought process here is that you and I were big rule followers in school, which means that we would get our syllabus and we would read it regardless of whether we were stuck in a classroom where someone read it to us. But I'm not really sure that's true of every college student.
Syllabus day is pointless. End syllabus day.
Oh, dear. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Washington Post's Jerry Brewer and the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Stay in school.